Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score! It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
On the inbound, Strogatz slaps that ball in play to Vooch. Vooch puts it on the deck with a handoff to DeMar DeRozan. 3 seconds left. DeRozan topside three for the win. No! Pulled down by Avdija. Ball game over. And the Bulls lose 102-100 to the Washington Wizards on a missed three ball by DeRozan.
Chuck Swirsky on the call right here on these very airwaves. Final call of last night's game. Bulls lose to the Wizards. They open their home season tonight at the United Center. In attendance will be my next guest. Joining me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago. Casey, how you doing?
Steve, it's been a while. How you been, man?
It has been. I've been good. I wonder. So Zach LaVine's going to come back. If he had come back and played in last night's game, does he get that chance at the end? Since he's a guy more likely to hit a three than DeMar. How do you think that plays out?
Well, I think the play call is probably, you know, more options. I mean, it was clear that the ball was going to DeMar there. Obviously, DeMar supplied plenty of late game magic last season, including at that very venue on New Year's Day, where he hit the game winner from three. So DeMar has told us that he has worked on his three-point shot over the summer. I think that's something you're going to see him try to incorporate as his game ages. I thought he shot it at a decent clip last year, obviously, albeit on low volume. And Zach clearly is a better three-point shooter. I just think you would have seen more options rather than, you know, what the play call was. Although DeMar also said, I mean, he was planning to try to get downhill and get to the line, which he obviously does so well, but didn't see the opening, so he settled for the three and the shot at the win.
What are the two or three most salient conclusions? I know it's early, but what either surprised you or confirmed what you thought in the two games you saw the Bulls play real basketball?
Yeah, so I would even maybe quickly go with four. The bench is going to be really good all season. I've been championing the Dragic Drummond signings from the jump. I think the fan base, you know, I shouldn't paint with a broad brush, but a certain segment of the fan base that I see on Twitter or email or what have you was kind of underwhelmed by those signings. They're both extremely professional veterans that are, you know, can start for you if you need to, can provide toughness. I think they're going to be a as long as they're healthy, I think they're going to be constants all season. That would be one. Iotasumu's just complete solidness and maturity for a second-year player and his floor command through two games and through the preseason would be two. Vucevic's commitment to not just taking threes and the Bulls' commitment, I should say, to getting Vucevic moving around, paint touches, getting the line, getting the ball down low more has been a huge positive from my perspective. And then we'll end on a downer because it's Saturday suckage. Patrick Williams, your table is not ready.
your plane is boarding. Actually, Patrick Williams, your plane is boarding. So what's going on? Where does he find the aggressiveness that's needed? Apparently, that's the key to opening up all manner of his game, and he seems to be lost the key, sitting on the key, doesn't want to find the key. I don't know. What can you conclude about this so far?
I personally will. I'm almost just counting down the days till Billy goes back to that preseason experiment and puts him with the second unit and starts Javonte Green. Because at the time, I was obviously surprised by that development, but then it started to make a lot of sense to me. Because when you play Patrick Williams alongside high usage players like DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, it almost plays into his worst qualities, which is to be deferential by nature. You put him in that second unit, he takes on a different mindset. You've seen it in flashes, but let's say he stays with the starters, Steve. I mean, what you need to do is what the Bulls coaching staff has been harping on with him ad nauseum. Cause I always say, like, if the coaches are telling us something, you know, they've told the player that like 50,000 times more than what they're telling us. Right.
Yes.
So what Billy always tells us is, like, you can be aggressive and you can impact the game without getting shots. You can cut hard. You can set a hard screen. You can run a hard lane hard in transition. You can attack a closeout and then kick the ball. So that there are ways to be aggressive that don't involve scoring or field goal attempts. And that's, if he stays with the starters, that's what he's got to get to on a much more consistent level.
Well, I understand. I appreciate the differential, his appreciation for, I guess, a pecking order or a food chain. I understand all that, and he hasn't found a way to fit in. So it is as connect the dots. If he doesn't do well, if he's in, I don't want to say he's in awe of the better players, the established players, then put him with other players that he won't be asking for their autographs, kind of thing. And that makes perfect sense to have him on the bench and come off with that group and find some confidence. And does it give them, would it give them, you wrote about earlier the 10-man rotation so that DeRozan doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to have one of the stars playing there, which would play to Patrick Williams, like you said, one of his worst traits as far as what the coaches want. Would that give them a 10-man rotation? Is that the way this has to play out?
Yeah, I mean, the reason they've been at 9 the first two games is Zach's absence. So, yeah, with Zach back tonight, you're going to probably see Billy go 10 deep. We don't know who will be the starting four and who will be coming off the bench. But if I get to the United Center tonight and see that Javonte is in the starting lineup and Patrick's coming off the bench, am I going to be surprised? Absolutely not. I don't know if Billy goes to that move this early, but if the way Patrick played in the first two games continues, I'm not going to be surprised at it by all. But like I said, I thought it actually worked pretty well in the preseason. And after my initial surprise, I was like, oh yeah, I can see why Billy's trying this. And it seemed to be working. So, you know, the other thing is just, he didn't grab a defensive rebound last night in 26 minutes. And look, I shouldn't bury the guy too hard on that because I haven't gone back and reviewed his tape. Maybe he's boxing out every time perfectly and the ball is just not coming to him. But I don't know, man. You think like one might accidentally come to him or something. So there's just ways he's got to impact the game, you know? So we'll see what he's got tonight.
My guest is Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago. We're talking about the Bulls here on The Score. They will open their home season tonight. You'll hear it on The Score, special pregame show. Dan Bernstein chairing a big roundtable at 4 o'clock. Casey, if I saw what happened in the East. I saw what the Bulls did and didn't do and the way the front office made its decisions. Once again, drafting somebody, using a first-round pick on someone who can't shoot. So they're going about it in a different way. And I had them as, at best, a play-in team. I didn't see them, given the injuries, the absence of Lonzo Ball, and it was only going to get worse, and what he meant to their defense and two-way play. Same with Caruso. So when you talk about you won't be surprised about a change at forward, and can Billy do it this quick? My question would be, can he wait if the East is as competitive as I and a lot of people think it will be, if every game matters to any kind of playoff spot, even a play-in spot? Do you think he has the ability to wait to try to bring Patrick Williams along? Or does everything matter? Is it too much now? He can't wait.
No, I see your overall point. And look, you know, you got a team tonight, although they're without one of their best players, Darius Garland, who's, you know, kind of one of the darlings of the improved East on paper because of the Donovan Mitchell acquisition and the youthful stars in Mobley and Jared Allen. So I get that. I don't know. I just think maybe the coaching staff is seeing some positives in Patrick that we're not seeing. And, you know, I don't think that Patrick Williams is the reason why they lost the game last night. I mean, I'm just focusing on him because he's such a important storyline to this season in year three. And, you know, obviously eligible for a contract extension off his rookie deal next summer. You got to know what that guy is moving into next summer. So, you know, just his usage and his performance is going to be a go-to storyline on the beat all season. So, but to be clear, I'm not saying Patrick's why they lost the game last night. I mean, they were, you know, I thought they actually played pretty well overall, quite frankly. I mean, people think, oh, Washington, they're not that good. Well, you know, to your point, the East, there are really no, you know, rollover games in the East, particularly on the road. So, you know, they've got a professional scorer in Bradley Beal, and they've got some nice depth coming off the bench. So, you know, that to me was not a bad loss. And you're in that game after being down 17, you come back and you got a chance to tie or win it at the end. So I actually thought there was probably more positives than negatives coming out of last night, even though they lost that game.
All the years you've covered the Bulls and all that you've seen, and it would have to start with Jordan, but seeing guys like DeRozan and Beal play essentially a game of horse down the stretch, do you like that? Do you get a kick out of that? Are you just on edge? What do you make of it when those guys are just, okay, watch this. Okay, try this. I think that's great. I just love the poise, and I love the confidence. I love seeing that kind of stuff down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure. And I would probably center it more on DeRozan just because, you know, I've had the privilege now of watching him for a full season and you know, starting the second season. And I can just say that, you know, the ability for him to play the game at his pace, get to his spots. I even tweeted last night, Steve, when he came in just under 7 minutes to go for his last rotational turn. He was at 20 points, and I tweeted, what's he going to end up with? Well, guess what he ended up with? 32 and almost 35 in the game winner. It's remarkable how consistent he is in clutch time within the context of the game. It's not like he's out there just gunning. I mean, he also had 6 assists last night. He had 9 assists in the opener. He reads the game. He's such an efficient scorer. He gets to the line. So you knew he was going to be in that mix down the stretch, and that's what you appreciate. You know, Beal obviously is a professional scorer as well. You know, strong connections to Billy Donovan from way back when in the college game. So, yeah, it was a cool game, but DeRozan is just – he's been such a marvel to watch on a nightly basis because of his composure, his calm, his confidence, and just his consistency.
Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago, is my guest here on The Score, talking Bulls basketball. They will play on this very radio station later on this evening. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock. So Coby White, that's I don't know what you can depend on. Maybe you can tell me. Do you have any ideas? But last night was a really good night for what Coby White can contribute, what he can give the team, I think. And I know that there's always reason for hope when I see this kid make some shots and make the bench the way you were describing, make the bench a threat. But what do you know? What do you think? What are your fears?
Well, I've been very impressed with Coby through the first two games because, you know, beyond the double-digit scoring that he's produced in both games off the bench, what I've noticed is a guy whose decision-making, his ball handling, his defensive commitment. And, you know, one thing that I think always gets overlooked with Coby White, he's a very, very responsible rebounder for a guard. He's very good at boxing out. He's a good rebounder for position. He's got nice positional size. He's stronger than people realize. I think he's played a very solid game the first two games. I don't have his shooting stats in front of me. He's missed a couple open looks that he probably would like to have back, particularly in that opener. But, you know, double-digit points both games off the bench. And look, man, this is a guy that, you know, still views himself as a starter in this league. So for him to accept that role and have that role kind of moved around throughout his tenure here and still produce and still have the commitment to try to, you know, master his role, I think he deserves a lot of credit personally. So it's early, but through two games, I would say Coby has probably played better than Alex Caruso through two games. I mean, everyone kind of just looks at Alex because of his defensive ability and his you know, just complete hustle and leadership. And I'm not, you know, burying Alex, but I if you ask me to say who do you think played better the first two games, I would take Coby over Alex.
Well, he shot better.
Alex is not. Yeah.
Alex is not. Yeah. I mean, Caruso's just not shot. So before I let you go, with Zach LaVine coming back, what can you expect in terms of minutes or effect on a game? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm laughing because get ready for bad radio. I have no idea because this is a guy who told me this is the guy who looked me in the eye on Friday and told me he felt great and healthy and never had to think about the knee anymore. And then, you know, 3 days later, he's being held out of a season opener. So, obviously, given what has happened, they're going to probably be conservative with him. Now, Billy did say that he's not going to be on a minutes limit per se, but you know, you're not going to see him in the 36 to 40 minute range. I would assume it'd be high 20s to low 30s. But you know, he didn't look good in the preseason. I didn't chalk that up to much because he didn't play much 5-on-5 over the summer. He was very rusty, obviously supreme scoring and athletic ability. You'd like to see flashes of that. But I think most of all, you're just looking for him to get through the game held back and encouraged by, you know, his first game out. Cause this took a turn that all of us around the beat were not expecting. I mean, all we heard throughout training camp and preseason was healthy, feeling good, just got to work the rust off. And then it took a detour that none of us were expecting.
Narrator, and he missed the first two games. Yeah. All right. So it's your weekly Zach LaVine game. Here we go. Casey, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Always good talking to you, Steve. Take care,
man. You too. Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago, talking Bulls. They will play the Cavs, open their home season. Zach LaVine is back. We'll see what part of Zach LaVine is back. And our pregame coverage starts at 4 o'clock. Dan Bernstein will go down to chair what essentially is a round table with Bulls voices, and we'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, there's voting is open. 670 The Score Twitter site. Go to the 670 The Score, and you can vote. If you're a Sox fan, your Saturday Suckage NLCS question, which sucks more? Sox missing out on Harper, Sox missing out on Manny, Sox signing Yonder Alonso. If you're a Cubs fan, which is where we started this, NLCS question, which sucks more? Schwarber hitting home runs, Darvish looking like an ace, don't care. We'll talk about whether the Cubs have another Schwarber in the system. He's got a cool nickname. We'll see if he's got a major league bat. We'll talk Cubs next after this. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's what someone in my position wants. You know, that you want the autonomy to make what you feel are the right decisions, the best decisions. I mean, we work so hard to research and think about how players fit. And, you know, when we have a moment that we feel like this is the right fit at the right time, we're going to present a lot of documentation about why we think that's the case. We don't do many things off the cuff. You know, we're going to be well researched, and we are going to, you know, think heavily about anything that we're going to do, especially given the size of the transactions I think you're alluding to. But I know that if I present Tom with a plan to do something like that, I know I have his support.
Yeah, I guess the next time the Cubs will convene, it will be in Arizona. I did stand on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. I have pictures and a t-shirt to prove it. Stood next to Jackson Brown. I stood next to Glenn Frey. So that was Jed Hoyer talking about Uncle Tom's going to raise his allowance and give him the money to spend on free agents. And the Cubs should get back to being a big market team like the Cubs should be. So my next guest covers the Cubs, and we'll see where that money might go. And as Megan Montemurro of the Tribune joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, I will ask her the question we're asking Cub fans as relates to the NLCS at 670 The Score on our Twitter feed. Which sucks more, Megan, while you're watching the NLCS as a Cub fan? Schwarber hitting home runs, Darvish looking like an ace, or don't care?
I think if you're a Cubs fan, probably Schwarber hitting home runs. You know, they non-tendered him, at least with Darvish. You know, they got value back, you know, when they traded him to San Diego. But I think if you're watching what Schwarber has done, especially for a team where, you know, Hoyer said at the end of the season that they need more power in the lineup. You know, if I'm a Cubs fan, I think that one stings a little bit more, given that they just essentially let him walk.
Yeah, when he's hitting they call him the Schwarberian in Philadelphia, and the Schwarbombs are he's having quite a postseason there. So if they need more power, the one thing that Cub fans know about, they know last week Bruce Levine of The Score reported that the Cubs would have an interest in Jose Abreu once the Sox cut him loose, which doesn't sound like a move for the future. It sounds like a move for right now. And yet the future may or may not involve Mash Mervis, the minor leaguer Matt Mervis, who strikes some as the next Schwarber, and some scouting reports would have him the next Dan Vogelbach. What do you know in covering this team? What do you know about a dynamic that might or might not include Jose Abreu and or Mash Mervis?
Well, you know, I think definitely, you know, Matt Mervis is going to get an opportunity in spring training to show what he can do. You know, he's not on the 40-man roster, so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where his performance has to force them, you know, to put him on the team. And so that's always, you know, a challenge if you're a minor leaguer coming up is, you know, you have to prove you're worth that roster spot. But, you know, as a left-handed hitter, you know, there is some susceptibility there to left-handed pitching. So, you know, when you look at first base, there's really no one locked into that spot, obviously, going into the offseason. You look at the DH position, again, you know, Franmil Reyes filled that hole, you know, once they acquired him. But, you know, they could non-tender him if they don't want to, you know, pay him a few million dollars. So that opens up another option there where you can mix and match with what you want to do at first base and DH. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, pairing a guy like Jose Abreu or somebody of that mold with a Matt Mervis is the worst approach to take, because, you know, I think you can do a tandem parallel thing where you're investing long-term in the roster, potentially at some other positions in free agency, but then also looking for shorter deals for something that, you know, Jose Abreu would likely command. So I think there's a way to address that without, you know, sacrificing all your resources or, you know, length of year for deals. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they attack first base and, you know, some other key positions on that roster.
Megan Montemurro covers the Cubs for the Tribune, is my guest. We're talking Cubs here on The Score. We are the home of the Cubs. Ron Coomer was on the station earlier. He was on Inside the Clubhouse earlier. And he sounded like if he had X number of free agent dollars, the place he would start is starting pitching, because he thought it sounded weird coming from a hitter. Megan, I'm giving you all that money. Tom Ricketts came down and said, Megan, spend this money. Where are you going to start spending your money? On who and where? How are you going to go about it, Megan Montemurro?
I mean, I think 1A and 1B is top of the rotation starter and then getting one of those top free agent shortstops, because it addressed both of them address short-term, long-term needs. I think when you look at the rotation and the starting pitching depth that the organization has built over the last year plus, I mean, it's definitely in a much healthier position than it was 2 years ago. But I think it's still missing that top arm that, you know, you can pair with a Marcus Stroman, who looked great from about, you know, late June on, after, you know, he came back from COVID and then some arm shoulder soreness. So I think, you know, the playoffs are a perfect example of, you know, when you have two top starting pitchers, I mean, that can really change the dynamic if you can get into the postseason. So top of the rotation starter, 1A, and then 1B, I mean, I think when you look at what this team lacks beyond, you know, offensively, I mean, they need more star power on this roster. And, you know, Jed was asked about that in his season ending presser about, you know, getting more star talent on this team, and he talked about, you know, the time needing to be right and all that. But I'm of the belief that you can't, even though you have an idea of when some guys might become free agents down the road, like if there is an opportunity and you have the financial resources to add a star player at a position that you need help at, I mean, I think it's obvious that you need to try and get one of those top guys.
Do we have, I've seen no indication that David Ross would would know how to manage in a pennant race, in a division race, would know how to manage when there's pressure in August and September. 39-31 doesn't mean much to me when you quit this, you know, you quit on this season 2 years ago. Are you aware, I mean, what could you share with the audience about what gives you any confidence that David Ross could manage when it matters?
Well, I do think there is something to keeping a clubhouse together and playing hard when there is nothing to play for. And I know that's different than what the postseason brings, where, you know, every moment there's tension and, you know, you can win or lose a game on a single pitch. But I do think that you need to have those qualities in some fashion. And for him right now, they're manifesting in keeping a clubhouse together and working hard. I mean, there were quite a few guys that have played on a variety of teams, have played in the postseason. You know, Drew Smyly comes to mind, who talked about how great the clubhouse environment is there and how, you know, it was better than some even postseason teams he's been on. So I think that there is an important element to that. And then beyond that, I think we've seen some glimpses how during the regular season, you know, he manages the pitching staff, you know, when he's willing to let a guy start an inning and go, you know, batter to batter and give them some trust. And when he's learned, you know, to let someone like Stroman, you know, go a little bit deeper when he's been rolling. But, you know, I do think there are some unknowns just because, as you said, you know, until he's in that seat, you know, where every decision, you know, makes a difference, you know, I don't know 100% that anybody really knows how David Ross will handle that. And I think a part of that, too, is, you know, how he will handle further scrutiny from media and fans, you know, when he's getting questioned about decisions after games, because, you know, largely for his tenure outside of his first season, you know, his decisions in game largely have not mattered in the context of the entire season. So that's something I'm interested in seeing, how, you know, he handles further scrutiny and how he reacts and internalizes that.
So put a face on the first, the star power you talked about. Who is that? Who's that first signing? Who do the Cubs sign first? Who's that star that comes here and declares everything to be wonderful? Who is it?
What? Yeah, and that's the tricky part because, you know, I think back to, you know, when I was in Philly covering them when the Machado-Harper offseason was going down and, you know, it was kind of a waiting game to see which guy would sign first, who was waiting for the other to sign before they signed. And I think you might see some of the same stuff when you have such a loaded shortstop class. I don't necessarily know which is the first domino to fall in terms of, okay, once this guy signs, the other guy or two, you know, will be ready to sign somewhere. But I do think, you know, you have to have a game plan and you have to certainly have an idea of where to pivot if something like that doesn't go your way. But I do think, you know, I don't know if it's a, you know, Trey Turner that once he signs, you know, maybe, you know, the other shortstops will feel ready to sign somewhere. I'm not sure yet which is the guy that's kind of going to be the first one. But I think that is really going to be an interesting dynamic of how this offseason plays out for the Cubs, because if they're looking to go after one of those guys, you know, can they pivot to other options if this goes up to, you know, spring training? So I think that's a real question they will have to weigh of how long do we wait guys out if they're weighing all their options.
Bring money. That's all I got to say. Megan, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune talking Cubs. They have to make the playoffs. They have to spend money. They have to get stars. Act like a big market team. That's the way you go about it. And whatever you think of the markets of, you know, Philly's a big market, New York's a big market, whatever you think of Houston and San Diego. San Diego went and hey, White Sox, they took your guy. They took Manny Machado. They got everybody's guy. And Bryce Harper, he went to Philly. And, you know, there's just, look, that's guys, the saying, ball go far, team go far, playoffs, team that out-homers the other one, they're going to win. And look, Philly plays defense as bad as the White Sox. Philly hits home runs. And Gene Segura, oh my God, what a thing that is. First guy to have an error, an RBI, and get picked off in a major league postseason inning, in one inning. And last night, he just, you saw all the body language, all the excitement, and he said he just exploded with it. And he said it was, he likened himself to Goku. Sean Sears, do you know who this Goku is?
Yeah, Goku. It's a Dragon Ball Z anime. Have you ever heard of it? Do you watch any anime,
yes,
Steve?
I'm not much of an anime kind of guy, but I've heard of Dragon Ball. So he's
the main character in that. Yeah, Goku.
Okay, so Goku. So there you go. You got a Goku drop on Saturday Suckage, and that's who Gene Segura is. Okay. We're going to spin the wheel of Ditka one more time, another time, and go, Sean.
The White Sox or the Cubs?
What no, else? Please.
What, or
no.
The Blackhawks?
No, please. Let's not. The Bears are the team in this town, and the fans love the Bears, and when they see the team not perform,
but where does it say Bears fans must be jerks? Where's that written? Jerko.
They're not being jerks. What they're being—they
just
want
jerks.
That's what makes the game. You could discuss the game during the week.
They're being
go
jerks.
Back and, why? Because they disagree with.
Because
something.
Every time you say, "How's Marcus Paul playing?" They say, "Terrible." How's Richard?
One guy
playing? Terrible.
Said it. Don't.
How's this guy playing? Terrible. How's Trace Armstrong? Terrible. How's
no,
Trace Harbaugh?
Playing
terrible.
There's nothing wrong with fans actually being aggravated if a team like you played against New York.
You're and you're exactly right. And there's nothing the matter with me being aggravated either. That's part of life, and I am aggravated.
Where does it say Bear fans must be jerks? Jerkos! Alrighty then. Coach turned 83 this week, and we're playing the Wheel of Ditka. Just never know what'll come up. Take a break. When we come back, we will come back with a stat about Justin Fields that was quite enlightening. I didn't know. But those of you who are fans of this show, you would also become fans of Jay Cuda, and you knew him from terrific work on the White Sox. Guess what? He's been doing some Bears work, and he has some enlightening numbers. Jay Hilgenberg enlightened us about what he would do on that offense. And Jay Cuda is going to enlighten us about what the Bears should do with Justin Fields. They play the Patriots on Monday. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The challenge that they give you is that for two parts, they get really specific with, like, you know, putting the people in the game that they feel do the task the best, too. So, you know, in the run game, you're going to get certain type of guys on the field, you know, run downs. And if there's an obvious passing down, you're getting certain guys on the field. So you're getting their better personnel. And then the challenge with all the stuff as you prepare for the week, the challenge is, okay, if you're in 21 personnel and you have a play called and there's three different types of personnel that you anticipate, that's more work for you during the week as far as getting the guys prepared for it. So that part of the challenge is something that a lot of these teams that have presented for us.
It's Luke Getsy. Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator, going up against Bill Belichick in Foxborough Monday night. Rookie and second-year quarterbacks are 3-42 in Foxborough against the Patriots since 2003. Hoo boy. Luke Getsy is gotten some criticism for what he's doing with Justin Fields. Justin Fields has gotten criticism. The Bears organization has gotten criticism, not giving him enough. I found this enlightening. Maybe you will too. Jay Cuda, who does terrific, terrific work, and he did it on the White Sox, and I brought his stuff to the air regularly during baseball season. Well, lucky for us, he's looking at football. So what he compiled after the Bears' latest bit of suckage, when they stunk at home against the awful, depraved Washington Commanders. Justin Fields under center versus shotgun snaps this season. So he has been in shotgun 146 times. He's been under center 48 times. His completion percentage under center is 60%. His completion percentage out of shotgun is 53%, 53.3%. So, sort of clarify there, he's under center a third, he's in shotgun three times as many snaps as he is under center, and his completion percentage is worse. His yards per attempt, some places use that as a valued barometer of an offense's ability to make something happen. Under center, Justin Fields' yards per attempt, he's averaging 11.3. Shotgun, 6.5. That would be damn close to 50% worse. Now, here's the weird part. Under center, he's thrown two TD passes under at a shotgun, two TD passes. He's thrown five interceptions while taking snaps under center. And yet this, I don't understand. His quarterback rating is 125.9 under center compared to 57.9 at a shotgun. And he's been sacked 18 times at a shotgun, five times under center. So it seems that you're not using this quarterback in the right formations, the right way. And when you can run, Jay Hilgenberg brought it up. Those are numbers provided by Jay Kuda, which are terrific. Gives you a snapshot of what the Bears are doing right, wrong, what Justin Fields. If we're trying to spend the season evaluating Justin Fields and find out what he likes, because that's what he'll run best, I don't know. Better completion percentage, better quarterback rating, under center, you might want to do that more. Shotgun, ugly, awful, don't, stop, make it go away. Mommy, make it stop. Jay Hilgenberg, the center for the 1985 Bears, the team that led the league in time of possession for five straight years. And he's part of the WBBM 780 AM broadcast crew with pregame, postgame, halftime with Ron Gleason and Jim Schwantz. He was on earlier, and he said, the most fun, the best part of being an offensive lineman was blocking for play action. It means you run the ball well. It means you can block like you're running, but you're really passing, and you have a chance for a massive play downfield. The Bears run the ball well. They have, on average. It's been the best thing this offense does. And you got a quarterback who could benefit by it. Even if he doesn't know how to throw a receiver open in the NFL, even if he doesn't know what a receiver looks like, an open receiver looks like in the NFL, give him a better chance with play action. Your offensive line loves it more. Your quarterback loves it. Loves. Apparently, the stats say he wants to be under center. The offensive coordinator says no. Just thought when you're going into Foxborough where young quarterbacks don't win. And again, I'll get back to it. It's on the Manning cast as well as ESPN, and this means twice as much national embarrassment. It's just got to stop. But Justin Fields, under center, maybe we'll see more of that.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Yeah, I know. I hate it too. But Jay Kuda does the math for us, and that's what's really impressive. That's what we love about him.
Well, that is a cool stat, though, Brozy, just because like Fields pretty much only operated out of shotgun while he was at Ohio State, so it's not surprising that he's struggling there, but it's a concern when it's like you run a pro-style offense and your quarterback doesn't seem to be good at it.
what he looked like, what the looks he got, and what he looked like out of the shotgun was Ohio State, where you're playing Cupcake A&M. Is a lot different than in the NFL.
Yeah, easy to throw six touchdowns against Akron, huh?
So, by the way, a texter said, I never thought, 630 texter, never thought I'd hear a DBZ reference on the score. So the DB I get is Dragon Ball. What does the Z stand for in DBZ? I couldn't figure that out.
So there's like different versions of Dragon Ball. So Dragon Ball Z is like the most, it's like the most recent iteration of it. It started originally as Dragon Ball, and then like it follows this main character Goku as a child, and then Dragon Ball Z is him as an adult. So it's
okay.
Same thing.
All right. So Goku, as I understand the history of the wiki, you can correct me, Sean Sears, because you are all anime, you're all Dragon Ball all the time.
Unfortunately.
So he's described as very timid, constantly crying for attention as an infant, but then programmed with intense hostility to carry out his mission. Does that sound like a fair description of your guy, Goku?
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right. He's got a they've got these superpowers and called them Saiyan or whatnot, and he kind of finds these powers, and that's what gets him to be aggressive. So I guess Segura felt like he was going Super Saiyan.
Right. If Phillies Gene Segura felt that, then why can't somebody show this Goku thing to Patrick Williams of the Bulls?
See, there's an idea. I bet he watches DBZ too.
It's a good thing I'm so smart, because that would be the guy. We don't need you to watch NBA cuts and cut-ups of whatever. Watch Goku. See what happened. Goku was this timid guy. And not that Patrick Williams is crying for attention. He just shrinks. As Casey Johnson said earlier when he was on the air and early this hour, that he's deferential to all the stars, all the big players. But they need him to be programmed with intense hostility to carry out his mission, the Bulls do. So they need to make – how do you make Patrick Williams a Goku? How do they do that? Sean, answer me. Sean, answer me. How do they
know,
do
man.
That?
I think you're the at this point, right?
You're the anime guy. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're just going to have to show him some of Goku's greatest hits and see if Pat can maybe take a little bit from that. Instead of trying to be more like DeMar DeRozan, he really needs to be more like Goku.
Yes. That's it. Well, maybe somebody of the Bulls is listening. So Lance McCullers Jr. is going to start for the Astros in game four. You would have thought he would have started earlier. I thought he would have started earlier.
Yeah, he had a heck of an NLDS.
AL.
Excuse me, AL.
Lance McCullers, yeah. Do you know why he's not starting until game four for the cheating Astros?
No, I have no idea why he's waited this long. I know they wanted to get Verlander in and whatnot, and was it Framber Valdez that pitched last in that game? He looked well. McCullers looked really good, though, in that first series.
Yeah, well, he got hit on the elbow with a spare champagne bottle during the celebration in beating Seattle.
Oh, my God.
So he had to get pushed back. He threw a bullpen recently and said everything's fine. But the idea that he got hit with a spare champagne bottle during a celebration, and that's why Lance McCullers is going in game four.
It's like Kerry Wood falling in his hot tub, Zambrano spraining his ankle over a gym bag. It's just like, what are you doing?
So there are two famous baseball injuries that involve irons. I don't know if you know about this. One, Brian Anderson of the D-backs, Diamondbacks most notably, he answered his hot iron. He held the iron up in a hotel room. He was trying to iron his white shirt. He's trying to watch Sunday Night Baseball, and he looks around the iron, and he runs it right into his face. John Smoltz, who you hear on baseball broadcasts, he tried to iron a shirt while he was wearing it.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What in the world?
That's it. So there you go. Lance McCullers has to wait till game four. He hurt his elbow celebrating a spare bottle of champagne.
And you would think, all right, these guys before are the best we go, hand-eye coordination, right?
Being right they should be. Doesn't think, you know, they think. Before we go, Sean, as we spin the wheel of Ditka one more, we're going to spin the wheel of Ditka, and I'm going to rig the game because this is what helped put the score on the map. It helped create a legendary segment on the score, features one of my all-time favorite people in sports talk radio, Terry Bors, and this was part of our Wheel of Ditka. We got to do this. We got to spin it, and it's going to come up with something every scorehead knows.
One of the things, Mike, that's been pointed out over the course of today and last night after the game is that you seem resigned to the fate after the game, that there wasn't much fire in you, and you sort of stood up before the media and said, well, you know, this is the way it is. Are you resigned to this fate?
You're the same guy that wrote about me when I did have the fire, that was the wrong thing to do. So who are you crapping?
Well, I'm just
don't
asking.
Don't crap which, me. Which no.
The Steelers have heard a lot about how bad they are, how average they are. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Look, they don't lose on Monday night, so... At home, especially.
Who are you crapping?
Coach is from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true.
Using that on Monday Night Football. Coach, who are you crapping? Legendary segment. That was it. That had to play that. Coach turned 83 this week. So we had to get that in. Want to thank everybody who stopped by today. Jay Hilgenberg, Bears legendary center. Mark Grody was here. What Mark heard. Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago, talking Bulls. Megan Montemurro of the Tribune. And we have our web polls up. Go to our web polls and vote, vote, vote. White Sox fans, Saturday suckage. The Sox suck more for missing out on Harper or missing out on Machado. Cup fans, same. NLCS. Cubs suck more for letting Schwarber go, dumping Darvish. I want to thank everyone who listened to Saturday suckage. Bulls basketball, 4 o'clock, pregame on the Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
The challenge that they give you is that for two parts, they get really specific with, like, you know, putting the people in the game that they feel do the task the best too. So, you know, in the run game, you're going to get certain type of guys on the field, you know, run downs. And if there's an obvious passing down, you're getting certain guys on the field. So you're getting their better personnel. And then the challenge with all the stuff as you prepare for the week, the challenge is, okay, if you're in 21 personnel and you have a play called and there's three different types of personnel that you anticipate, that's more work for you during the week as far as getting the guys prepared for it. So that part of the challenge is something that a lot of these teams that have presented for us.
It's Luke Getsy. Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator, going up against Bill Belichick in Foxborough Monday night. Rookie and second-year quarterbacks are 3-42 in Foxborough against the Patriots since 2003. Hoo boy. Luke Getsy has gotten some criticism for what he's doing with Justin Fields. Justin Fields has gotten criticism. The Bears organization has gotten criticism, not giving him enough. I found this enlightening. Maybe you will too. Jay Kuda, who does terrific work, and he did it on the White Sox, and I brought his stuff to the air regularly about the during baseball season. Well, lucky for us, he's looking at football. So what he compiled after the Bears' latest bit of suckage, when they stunk at home against the awful, depraved Washington Commanders, Justin Fields under center versus shotgun snaps this season. So he has been in shotgun 146 times. He's been under center 48 times. His completion percentage under center is 60%. His completion percentage out of shotgun is 53%, 53.3. So, sort of clarify there, he's under center a third. He's in shotgun three times as many snaps as he is under center. And his completion percentage is worse. His yards per attempt, some places use that as a valued barometer of an offense's ability to make something happen. Under center, Justin Fields' yards per attempt, he's averaging 11.3. Shotgun, 6.5. That would be damn close to 50% worse. Now, here's the weird part. Under center, he's thrown two TD passes at a shotgun, two TD passes. He's thrown five interceptions while taking snaps under center. And yet this, I don't understand. His quarterback rating is 125.9 under center compared to 57.9 at a shotgun. And he's been sacked 18 times at a shotgun, five times under center. So it seems that you're not using this quarterback in the right formations, the right way. And when you can run, Jay Hilgenberg brought it up. Those are numbers provided by Jay Kuda, which are terrific. Gives you a snapshot of what the Bears are doing right, wrong, what Justin Fields. If we're trying to spend the season evaluating Justin Fields and find out what he likes, because that's what he'll run best, I don't know. Better completion percentage, better quarterback rating under center, you might want to do that more. Shotgun, ugly, awful, don't, stop, make it go away. Mommy, make it stop. Jay Hilgenberg, the center for the 1985 Bears, the team that led the league in time of possession for five straight years. And he's part of the WBBM 780 AM broadcast crew with pregame, postgame, halftime with Ron Gleason and Jim Schwantz. He was on earlier, and he said the most fun, the best part of being an offensive lineman was blocking for play action. It means you run the ball well. It means you can block like you're running, but you're really passing, and you have a chance for a massive play downfield. The Bears run the ball well. They have, on average. It's been the best thing this offense does. And you got a quarterback who could benefit by it. Even if he doesn't know how to throw a receiver open in the NFL, even if he doesn't know what a receiver looks like, an open receiver looks like in the NFL, give him a better chance with play action. Your offensive line loves it more. Your quarterback loves it, loves, apparently the stats say he wants to be under center. The offensive coordinator says no. Just thought when you're going into Foxborough where young quarterbacks don't win. And again, I'll get back to it. It's on the Manning cast as well as ESPN, and this means twice as much national embarrassment. It's just got to stop. But Justin Fields, under center, maybe we'll see more of that.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Yeah, I know. I hate it too. But Jay Cootie does the math for us, and that's what's really impressive. That's what we love about him.
Well, that is a cool stat, though, Rosie, just because like Fields pretty much only operated out of shotgun while he was at Ohio State. So it's not surprising that he's struggling there, but it's a concern when it's like you run a pro-style offense and your quarterback doesn't seem to be good at it.
what he looked like, what the looks he got, and what he looked like out of the shotgun was Ohio State, where you're playing Cupcake A&M. Is a lot different than in the NFL.
Yeah, easy to throw 6 touchdowns against Akron, huh?
So, by the way, a texter said, I never thought, 630 texter, never thought I'd hear a DBZ reference on the score. So the DB I get is Dragon Ball. What does the Z stand for in DBZ? I couldn't figure that out.
So there's like different versions of Dragon Ball. So Dragon Ball Z is like the most, it's like the most recent iteration of it. It started originally as Dragon Ball, and then like it follows this main character Goku as a child, and then Dragon Ball Z is him as an adult. So it's
okay,
same thing.
All right, so Goku, as I understand the history of the wiki, you can correct me, Sean Sears, because you are all anime, you're all Dragon Ball all the time.
Unfortunately.
So he's described as very timid, constantly crying for attention as an infant, but then programmed with intense hostility to carry out his mission. Does that sound like a fair description of your guy, Goku?
Yeah, that sounds about right. He's got they've got these superpowers and called them Saiyan or whatnot, and he kind of finds these powers, and that's what gets him to be aggressive. So I guess Segura felt like he was going Super Saiyan.
Right. If Phillies Gene Segura felt that, then why can't somebody show this Goku thing to Patrick Williams of the Bulls?
See, there's an idea. I bet he watches DBZ too.
It's a good thing I'm so smart. Because that would be the guy. We don't need you to watch NBA cuts and cut-ups of whatever. Watch Goku. See what happened. Goku was this timid guy. And not that Patrick Williams is crying for attention. He just shrinks. As Casey Johnson said earlier when he was on the air and early this hour, that he's deferential to all the stars, all the big players. But they need him to be programmed with intense hostility to carry out his mission, the Bulls do. So they need to make, how do you make Patrick Williams a Goku? How do they do that? Sean, answer me. Sean, answer me. How do they
know,
do
man.
That?
I think you're the at this point, right?
You're the anime guy. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're just going to have to show him some of Goku's greatest hits and see if Pat can maybe take a little bit from that. Instead of trying to be more like DeMar DeRozan, he really needs to be more like Goku.
Yes, that's it. Well, maybe some of the Bulls is listening. So Lance McCullers Jr. is going to start for the Astros in game 4. You would have thought he would have started earlier. I thought he would have started earlier.
Yeah, he had a heck of an NLDS.
AL.
Excuse me, AL.
Lance McCullers, yeah. Do you know why he's not starting until game 4 for the cheating Astros?
No, I have no idea why he's waited this long. I know they wanted to get Verlander in and whatnot, and was it Framber Valdez that pitched last in that game? McCullers looked really good, though, in that first series.
Yeah, well, he got hit on the elbow with a spare champagne bottle during the celebration in beating Seattle.
Oh, my God.
So he had to get pushed back. He threw a bullpen recently and said everything's fine. But the idea that he got hit with a spare champagne bottle during a celebration, and that's why Lance McCullers is going in game 4.
It's like Kerry Wood falling in his hot tub, Zambrano spraining his ankle over a gym bag. It's just like, what are you doing?
So there are two famous baseball injuries that involve irons. I don't know if you know about this. One, Brian Anderson of the D-backs, Diamondbacks most notably, he answered his hot iron. He held the iron up in a hotel room. He was trying to iron his white shirt. He's trying to watch Sunday Night Baseball, and he looks around the iron, and he runs it right into his face. John Smoltz, who you hear on baseball broadcasts, he tried to iron a shirt while he was wearing it.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
In the world?
That's it. So there you go. Lance McCullers has to wait till game four because he hurt his elbow celebrating a spare bottle of champagne.
And you would think, all right, these guys before are the best hand-eye coordination, right?
They should be. Doesn't think, you know, they think. Before we go, Sean, as we spin the wheel of Ditka one more, we're going to spin the wheel of Ditka, and I'm going to rig the game because this is what helped put the score on the map. It helped create a legendary part of a segment on the score, features one of my all-time favorite people in sports talk radio, Terry Boers. And this was part of our Wheel of Ditka. We got to do this. We got to spin it, and it's going to come up with something every scorehead knows.
One of the things, Mike, that's been pointed out over the course of today and last night after the game is that you seemed resigned to the fate after the game, that there wasn't much fire in you, and you sort of stood up before the media and said, well, you know, this is the way it is. Are you resigned to this fate?
You're the same guy that wrote about me when I did have the fire, that was the wrong thing to do. So who are you crapping?
Well, I'm just
don't
asking.
Don't crap which, me. Which no.
The Steelers have heard a lot about how bad they are, how average they are. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Look, they don't lose on Monday night, so... At home, especially.
Who are you crapping?
Coach is from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true.
Using that on Monday Night Football. Coach, who are you crapping? Legendary segment. That was it. That had to play that. Coach turned 83 this week. So we had to get that in. Want to thank everybody who stopped by today. Jay Hilgenberg, Bears legendary center. Mark Grody was here. What Mark heard. Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago, talking Bulls. Megan Montemurro of the Tribune. And we have our web polls up. Go to our web polls and vote, vote, vote. White Sox fans, Saturday suckage. Suck more for missing out on Harper or missing out on Machado. Cup fans, same. NLCS. Cubs suck more for letting Schwarber go or dumping Darvish. I want to thank everyone who listened to Saturday suckage. Bulls basketball, 4 o'clock, pregame on the score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.